We humans are pretty unique creatures. We have bodies and souls. We have different parts and components of us. In our bodies, we experience the world. We experience the world through our senses. Think of the things that you taste and touch and smell and hear. Your senses help you engage and experience the world. But it doesn't just stop there at our bodies. The data and the information that we receive through our senses goes more deeply in us into our souls, especially that part of our soul called the intellect. The intellect is the part of us that understands the world, but we can't understand it unless we've received parts of it first through our senses, what we taste and smell and hear. We're pretty unique and pretty, curious because of this, all of the things that we are able to take in through our experience. And with that, there are different levels of experience. Now, take, for example, roller coasters. You can experience roller coasters on different levels of experience and encounter. On a very basic level, I could tell you about roller coasters, and you would sit here and listen. That's one level of experience. And let me tell you, I love roller coasters. I love what they do and the exhilarating feel and the twists and the turns. So I could explain all of that to you. One of my favorite places in the world is Cedar Point Amusement Park in Sandusky, Ohio. The best roller coasters in the world. And I could tell you about the Millennium Force and the Top Thrill Dragster and all of the bells and whistles that they have. And that'd be one level of experience. Even for our high school students, I'm taking a group to Cedar Point this coming summer on our way back from the Steubenville Youth Conference. So a little shameless plug, if you like roller coasters, maybe you want to join me in going to Cedar Point. My priest used to take us there in high school when we were part of the serving team at Mass. And I could tell you all about it. That'd be one level of experience. A second level, a little deeper level, I could show you roller coasters. I could show you pictures and videos, and you would have a little bit better understanding of a roller coaster. Even maybe some of you kids for Christmas, maybe you got a gift like my nieces and nephews. They got one of those virtual reality viewers, I think called an Oculus. And I was at home, and they let me use it. And I was sitting there in my parents' living room, and I was transported to a roller coaster just by putting that visor on. And it actually was pretty cool. I could hear the sounds in my ears. I could see the twists and turns. I actually put my hands in the air and was taking the turns on the roller coaster like I was on it. And I even got a little queasy. It actually affected me physically. Because of the sights and the sounds that I was taking in. And that was a different experience than just hearing someone describe a roller coaster. But there's a third experience. There's one that even goes beyond a virtual experience of a roller coaster, seeing a picture or a video of one. I could actually ride one. I could get strapped into the Millennium Force. I could strap you into the Millennium Force, maybe against your will. And you'd be able to experience all the twists and turns. You'd get to experience what happens to your stomach when it goes upside down. You would encounter and experience that one topic of roller coasters differently than you had in the previous different levels. And I think this translates to our faith. The ways that we understand and interiorize the mysteries of our faith. We're still in the season of Christmas. This is the last day of our season of Christmas. And in that season, we have examined one topic, one theme, one message, the incarnation, God becoming man. We examined it at Christmas when we celebrated the nativity at Bethlehem. We celebrated and experienced it in a different way the next day when we celebrated the Holy Family. And how Jesus was received into a family, that God-man who's fully God and fully man, received by Mary and Joseph into a family. We celebrated the mystery of Mary, the mother of God, on that great solemnity and the Epiphany last week. We've celebrated all these different elements of the incarnation, and today we're led to a specific celebration and an examination of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. And each of these steps have invited us more deeply to experience the mysteries that we study. If it just stays on a surface level that I'm just hearing about the mystery, it doesn't go so deeply to my soul and to my heart. But the Lord in each step has invited me more deeply. He's invited us more deeply as a family to understand and internalize these mysteries. I think that's what's happening here in the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. You see, we've celebrated him as the God-man, fully God, fully man. He took on our flesh and our blood. He took on our humanity, and today he takes that part of him, the humanity that he received from us, and he brings it to the water. He brings it to a place of rebirth. You might think of the other images of water in the scriptures. This isn't the first one, certainly. All the way back at the beginning of creation, God created the heavens and the earth and the snails and human beings. And he also created water and land. And you might remember that the Spirit hovered over the water at the beginning of creation, just like it does in our gospel reading today. There was water and there was the Spirit hovering down upon the water at the beginning of creation. And then God created man and woman, and you know what happened next. They sin, they turn their backs on God, and they then have a fallen human nature. They have a wound. They have something wrong with them now that needs to be refreshed and recovered and replenished. And so God tries to do this later in the book of Genesis through the flood. You remember the story of Noah and his family, how they entered the ark and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of the flood, after everything had been washed away, it was a dove again that came down and revealed to Noah that the dry land had appeared. Another image of water and a dove, the Spirit coming down and blessing and bringing a moment of refreshment and replenishment and rebirth. And that's in the vein that we receive the encounter today of Jesus's baptism in the Jordan. As I said, Jesus brings with him to the water our humanity. He brings flesh and blood. He brings his senses, just like you can smell and taste and touch. Jesus brings all of that with him to the water, and he brings it so that he can baptize it. He can immerse our humanity into this mystery of God, into this mystery of rebirth. It's in that context that we see the images of the gospel today. It's the Holy Spirit that comes down from heaven in the form of a dove, just like the one up here in our sanctuary. The Spirit comes down and it anoints Jesus, and it anoints him in his humanity. His humanity needed to receive the dove. His humanity needed to receive the Spirit so that he could receive it on our behalf. And when the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," the Father is speaking to Jesus' humanity. He's speaking to Jesus' flesh and blood that he had assimilated to himself for our sakes. And so this is the context, brothers and sisters, that we celebrate this feast, that we would receive it specifically for me, that God, in his infinite goodness, came to anoint me. God in his sheer goodness came that the Spirit would come upon me and upon you. He does this first at our baptism. We're going to baptize two babies here real shortly. He'll do it for them today. But if you've been baptized for a day or for 80 years, it's the same. The Spirit has come upon each of us, the baptized, Each of us has received the Spirit. The Father has called each of us his adopted sons and daughters into his very family. And that's the encounter, that's the experience that we're called to have when we celebrate baptism and when we enact our faith. St. Athanasius, he had this great line that the Son of God became man so that man might become God. That's what happens in our baptisms. Our fallen humanity, our fallen human nature is paired with God's divine nature. All of the woundedness of my heart meets all of the goodness of God. That's what happens with baptism. God's very presence, his indwelling, comes into me. And that's something that we're meant to encounter in a very deep way. If you come to Mass just to hear me talk about it, you're missing the boat. It'd be like you coming to just hear me talk about a roller coaster. How boring is that? How boring if you're just coming to hear someone describe a reality. Don't you want to experience it? Don't you want that reality to go more deeply into your heart, into your encounter of the mystery? That's what we have in our opportunity as we practice the faith, that when I am in a place of need, when I need help, I remind myself, I'm God's son, you're God's daughter, and he's given us the Spirit so that we could actually get through this with him. That's the goodness of God. He invites us not just to be spectators of the mystery, not to be spectators in our faith, but to encounter it just like we'd be riding that roller coaster. So join me today, brothers and sisters, as we get to gaze upon the mystery of baptism here in just a few moments. Let's reenact our own baptisms. Let's reenact our own faith, that we would not be mere spectators, but allow the Lord to rejuvenate you and stir the Spirit in your heart.